if you follow along and you're in 2 Corinthians 5, look at verse 17. That's going to be my text message this morning. I'm going to look at the section that says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. If you take notes, I've entitled the message, Alien Life. Alien Life. Before we look into that, let's ask the Holy Spirit to help us. Spirit of God, we come to you in thanksgiving for this wonderful text, this text that shows us that we are new creatures, that we've been born again, we've been regenerated. And we thank you for that, Lord. And as we look at this text, we pray that you would open up our minds and hearts. And again, if there's one listening who knows not Christ as Savior, we do pray that today they might come to know Christ as their Savior. Open up their hearts, draw them to you, Lord, whatever seems best. And for others, Lord, we pray that the message that goes out would bring edification, they'd learn from it, and they might even be convicted by it. Whatever works, Lord, for us, whatever helps us to grow, we know your word always has something for us, every part of it does. Help us to hear it and then be doers of the word. God, thank you for all this. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Alien life. You know, it's really funny. There's a government program called SETA. It's searching for extraterrestrial life or something like that. We've been spending millions and millions of dollars looking up into the sky, looking for, I don't know, green men, whatever, alien creatures, things that are not natural to Earth. But I think it's fair to say they're looking in the wrong place. I think it's fair to say that every single one of us who is a born-again Christian is an alien. We are. And it's also fair to say there isn't much alien life on this planet. I have to laugh because it's funny. It's true. There's lots of professing aliens. There's a lot of people who profess to be aliens in their religion, but a check of their life shows they're counterfeits. Their lifestyle, the way people live, their spiritual bloodline shows that their spiritual bloodline is still in Adam, the natural man's father. Our Lord Jesus even makes that point in Matthew 7:21. He says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of heaven, my Father in heaven. And what he's saying is, you can call yourself a Christian, you can go to church, you can do all the ceremonial things that churches do, but if you don't take this book and make it the compass of your life, then you're not a true Christian alien. You might be a Christian, but you're not a Christ Christian. Wherever you're worshiping, if it is not the word of God, then you're worshiping something that is alien to God. As an alien, and I admit I'm an alien, as an alien, I'm amazed that natural people on this planet are continually searching for that extraterrestrial life. I'm amazed at that. When in fact, an alien came down from heaven and visited Earth over 2,000 years ago. Our Lord Christ was an alien. And he testified to that in John 6:38. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. He didn't come down here just to visit. He came down here because his Father sent him. He wasn't native to America or to this planet or to this solar system. He created it. And he proved that he came down when he went, that he was an alien and that he came down. How did he prove it? He raised the dead. He never went to a funeral where he did not raise the dead. He gave the sight to the blind. People couldn't see. They were born blind. And he gave them their sight. He cast out demons and devils from people who that were possessed. And how about controlling the power of nature? What human being can do that? Nobody can. Just Christ. He came down from heaven as a child. And when he grew up, he introduced himself to the world, to the population. What happened? The people despised him. They despised what he had to say. And what did they do? They tried to kill him. Imagine that. He does all of this. Imagine. And I tell you this, that if he came back, if he did the same thing today, we would do the same thing to him today. No different. Although they tortured him and they nailed him to a cross, they did that. And they tortured him in many different ways. They nailed him to a tree. It wasn't that that killed him. Listen, Jesus Christ had the power to destroy the world with just a word. When they were abusing him at any point, when he was in a praetorium and the guards whipped him, left welts on his back, and then put a robe on him to let it stick to it and then rip it off. Or when they put the crown of thorns on his head. Or when they laid him down on the cross and they took those iron nails and they put them through his hands and feet. And any one of those instances, all he had to do was say the word and the universe would have disappeared. How do I know that's true? Because he tells me that in Revelation 4:11. It says, for you created, speaking of Christ, for you created all things, and by your will they exist, and they were created. Right now, you're sitting here in your body, and your body is being held together by God's will. Everything in this universe is being held together by God's sovereign strength and will. Nobody took his life. He voluntarily gave it up. He came here to save a lost people, and he did that by giving up his life for his people. Why? Because he wanted to keep them out of the lake of fire. That's why he did it. But you know the neat thing about that, and another reason why we know that Christ was an alien, death had no hold on him because he was sinless, first of all, couldn't claim him, and he was divine. He was the second member of the Godhead, the Son of God. His flesh died. Soul and body went to paradise. Remember the repentant thief? He said to Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And what did he say? He said, verily, verily, I say to you, you will be with me in paradise today. So his soul and spirit was there. But his body had to perish. Something had to die to pay that sin. And that's why he came from heaven to do that. If that was the end of the story, that would have been a great story. But he would have been just like maybe a myth. But what happened was 3 days after he was laid in a tomb, 3 days after that, he surprised everyone by resurrecting from the dead. He gave his life and he took it up again because he had the power to do that. Hundreds of people witnessed his resurrection. They spoke with him. They touched him. They ate with him. Then after 40 days, I think, after 40 days, he said goodbye to his friends and he ascended back to his kingdom in heaven. No spaceship. No spaceship. He levitated to heaven. That's the alien Jesus Christ, our Savior. Now, again, if that was the end of the story, that's wonderful. There's more. You know the first thing Jesus Christ did when he returned to his kingdom? He opened up a direct line of communication to his friends. He says, call on me day or night, 24 hours a day. Call me. Speak to me. You know why he did that? And why he's still doing that now? Because he loves us. Do you understand that? You ever been in love with somebody? If you're romantically in love with somebody, you call them all the time. They're always on your mind. They're always on your heart. You're pumping gas. You're thinking, well, I'm going to call them tonight. We're going to go to dinner. And next thing you know, the gas is overflowing. But the fact is, they're always on your mind. And how about a family member? I had a brother. I still have a brother. And for several years, we spoke every day. It seemed like you wouldn't have anything to say, but we had something to say to each other every day for at least 6 years, every day. I told him once, I said, you only do that with me because we're using cell phones and there's no charge for it, just a monthly charge. That's why you do it. But we did it because we loved each other. And God loves you enough that when he left here, he set up a direct line so you could communicate with him. What do you think that is for responsibility to you to return the call? Isn't that what we do? Somebody loves you, they call you, and what do? You think about that love that they shared with you, and you want to call them back. And that's how you keep it going. And that's what he did. He set up a direct line of communication with all of his children. And in addition to that, again, it gets better. Jesus sent another divine alien. He sent them to help his people get through this life. We call him the Holy Spirit. He was from heaven too. He guides us through this life. He ushers us into eternity. Every single moment of your life, if you're a believer, the Holy Spirit is within you. He's guiding you. He's opening up doors. He's closing doors. He's leading you. He's teaching you. He's helping you every day. And all from Jesus Christ. He sent him. He said, I will send you the Comforter, and he will guide you. He will not speak of himself. He will guide you into all truth. He'll speak of me and guide you into all truth. And he did. And lastly, our Savior left us his word, this book. The Bible is the authority on every matter pertaining to this life and the eternal life. There's no other book like it. He left it, the inspired word. And since it's been written for, I don't know, 3,000 years more, man has been trying to disprove it, destroy it, rebuke it, criticize it, and they can't, because it is the inspired word of God, and the sovereign God said, my word endures forever. It ain't going nowhere. Now, and you know, I don't know if you know this, but you could ask yourself, how does Brian know with absolute certainty that everything I just said to you is true? You know how I can do that? I can do that because I'm one of the fruits that came from the seeds of alien Christ when he came, that he planted over 2,000 years ago. That's how you know he had the power, because you and I are the seeds of his death, his resurrection. We're the seeds, and it was over 2,000 years ago, and we are living proof that there's a God. We're living proof that this book is everything it claims to be. I can't save you. The church can't save you. Your friends can't save you. Praying to other people can't save you. The only thing that God says will save you is his son, Jesus Christ. Jesus himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And what? Nobody comes to the Father but by me. He came to earth as an alien. He planted seeds. His blood watered those seeds. They grew crops, small crops, and we're part of that crop. The term, in looking at our text, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. That means me, myself, rather, and every other born-again Christian who is genuinely in Christ is an alien creature. What does that mean, genuine Christian? It simply means this. I can call myself a Christian, but if I'm not living a Christian life, Christian means Christ-centered. And if I'm not living a Christ-centered life, then I'm not a Christian. I'm a liar. And there's a difference between a Christian and a liar. A liar can be whatever they want to be because they don't tell the truth. A Christian can only be what this book says he or she can be. You can't be anything else but a Christian if you're called. It's very simple. And the world, unfortunately, has taken what Jesus Christ has done and has bastardized it in such a way and then twisted it and contorted it in such a way that they can call themselves Christian and enjoy all the things of their carnal nature at the same time. Christians can't do that. Christians say, this is the book. This is what we go by. And we don't just go by it metaphorically. We don't think it's just a real good suggestion like a speed limit sign. I used to think they were just suggestions. So somebody said it's a law. I didn't know that. This isn't a suggestion. This is a commandment. And those who have come to know Christ as their Savior, what happens is they have been empowered to live their life that way. That's the beauty of it. And how do we know we're a different type of human being? Look at the end of the verse. End of the verse 17 says, gives us the answer. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are new. All of you here who know Christ as your Savior, you have to understand that your life isn't the same. I know people have religions that they go to. They love the ceremony. They take communion. They do all that. They pray. They have collections. They have singers. They have everything. They have everything, but then they leave the church and they go back and everything is the same as it was before they went to church. The Bible says if you're a new creature in Christ, those old things have passed away. All things have become new. That means every single person who is in Christ takes on the attributes of Christ. We have a new life, new views, new feelings, new attitudes, and new powers. We can do things now we could never do before. Which one of us could love our enemies? Which one of us could not control our anger? Which one of us couldn't control our lust? Those were things that the carnal nature focuses on. But now we have the power to control those. We're not under their power anymore. We're under the power of Jesus Christ. Do we slip? Yeah. Do we sin? Occasionally. Yeah. But generally speaking, we live a Christian life. And that's really what a Christian is. And those who are in Christ, we think differently than the rest of the world. Is that not true? Do you think that, isn't it true when you come to church, you're around other people that have the same thoughts as you do, and when you go into the world and people are swearing, people are talking about about really perverse things, doesn't it offend you? We don't think and feel anymore the way we did. And the reason, Colossians 1:13 tells us, he has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved son. You're no longer that old person. You're a new creature. You're an alien. That's what makes us a Christian alien. We're different, much different. And I've had people tell other people, you know, that Northfield church up there, that's a cult. Not only is it a cult, those people up there, you know, they just hang out and all they ever do is talk about God and the Bible. There's no programs. They don't do anything. See how I talk? That's how they talk too. Anyway, yeah, they're right. We are Jesus oriented church, period. A biblical church. And that makes us aliens, and it also makes us targets for the world, because the world didn't like Jesus when he was here. And he said, if they hated me, what? They're going to hate us too. It's okay. And the reason we're different, another reason why we're different, is we're just passing through. This isn't your home. You are actually a citizen of heaven preparing to go home once you're saved. 1 Peter 2:10, beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust. And we're not spiritual citizens in this world. Philippians 3:20 tells us, but our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We're waiting to go home. We're living our lives every day, trying to glorify God, doing the best we can to please him and grow and become better Christians, but listen, better human beings. That's also part of it. And in addition to that, our thinking is different. Isn't your thinking different than the rest of the world? Worldlings live with an overactive sense of self. I put that very clearly. It took me a while to figure that out, how to say it. I want, I need, I feel, or what's in it for me? That's an overactive sense of self. And that overactive sense of self almost always spills over into their religion. We see pastors like myself who stand up here and tell you everything you want to hear. They water down the sermons so they don't offend people. One guy did a quote and he said, if a pastor gets up and doesn't offend somebody with a message, he should fall down the stairs and break his neck, or they should hate him, something like that. Reason? Because I'm supposed to tell you the truth, and the truth offends. Jesus found that out. I found that out. And if you're a believer for any length of time, you know that as well. The truth always offends. How about Bible studies? In Bible studies, forthright passages like Jacob have I hated, but Esau have I loved. Those passages are avoided or dressed up with some colorful interpretation. But the alien saint has their moral and spiritual compasses aligned towards God and others instead of themselves. For example, a heartfelt prayer for a Christian is, I must decrease that he may increase. People don't want to pray that, but a believer does. Their preference is, lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. And the promise in our promises for whether we live or we live unto the Lord, or whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live therefore or we die, we are the Lord's. Romans 14:8. That's the way we think. And that's what makes us aliens. And our plan is found in 1 Corinthians 15:30, 31. I die daily. Go up to any Christian that isn't a Bible-believing Christian and say, hey, you've been dying daily lately? Ask them. Just say that. Ask them. You've been dying daily? Well, I am. I'm dying daily every day. I die a little bit. Well, what in the world are you talking about? I'm dying to myself. Being conformed to Christ means God is squeezing my life in certain ways, in certain areas, to squeeze me out of me so there's more room in me for him. Getting over yourself is another way of putting that. And the interesting thing about all of this, as difficult as it is, God empowers us to do it. That means, because the Spirit of God indwells us, we share the attributes of the divine nature of Christ. We do. How do we know it's true? I have the power to love my enemy. We have too many testimonies of people in here that have problems with other people. And then they come to know Christ, And all of a sudden, the problems resolve themselves because they realize that they have a love, they have the ability to love beyond condition. They love because they're loved. They're taking the love that God put in them and they're sharing it with somebody that's their enemy, somebody that they despise, somebody that they don't want to associate with. They have the power to do that and do it with grace. That's a very strong power to do that, to be able to do that. It is not natural to do that if you're outside of Christ. You can't do that outside of Christ. I dare say people will avoid you. You know, there's not everybody's confrontational. Somebody say, well, I don't like that guy. I don't ever want to see him. If I see him, I'll punch him or something. And if you see the guy, you might not punch him, but you might just say, you know what, I'm getting out of here. You might say despairing things. Why? Because you're natural. But now you're a new creature in Christ. And as a new creature in Christ, you have the ability to forgive. You have the ability to love. And let me tell you what that means. It doesn't mean you go up and give him a big hug. It simply means that you respect them enough to say hi and treat them as a human being and not let your flesh treat them any other way. It's important to understand that you have the power to do that. And Jesus tells us that in Matthew 5:44. I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. How can you do that if you don't have the power? You have the power. That also means we can turn the other cheek. Somebody insults you, walk away. Don't be slighted by it. And if somebody steals our coat, give me your hat if you got one. These are unconditional acts of love and forgiveness that a believer has the power to do. If you don't, if you're not a believer, you can't let go. And if you can't let go, then you don't know Christ as your Savior, because he empowers you to do it and he commands you to do it. How about worshiping God? We are aliens when it comes to worshiping God, because today the Christian church worships pretty much everything except God. The liberal church, it worships a God in man's image. They're liberal. Everything is okay. I'm good. You're good. Everything is getting better. How about the church at Rome? They worship idols and they pray to the dead. How about Protestant churches, mainline Protestant churches? They worship whatever brings in the people. Doesn't matter what it is. What do you want to hear? Okay. Matter of fact, it was a quote that said that. Guy was looking for a job as a pastor. And he said, you know how to preach hell? He said, yeah. He said, do you know how to preach this or that? He says, I'll preach anything you want. He didn't say, I just preach the Bible. I'll preach whatever you want. I need a job. And how about the Church of Cain? There's plenty of churches of Cain. Cain gave God what he wanted, not what God wanted. There's plenty of those around too. You worship God any way you like. And the list is endless. But true Christians, alien Christians, if you will, know God, and we know that he must be worshipped exactly the way that he prescribes. John 4:23-24. Here we see that God tells us that. But the hour comes and now is when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father seeks such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in the spirit and truth. Period. You got to worship him the way he wants you to worship him. He doesn't want you to worship him and say it's okay to do this and to do that when his book says don't do it. It's that simple. And lastly, the alien believer has a completely different take on religion. Most Christian religions are filled with traditions. They have traditions. They have legalism. Rituals, programs, initiations, philosophies, they have creeds. The list is endless of all the things they put in the church. I think it's really funny because the only thing the church really needs is God and the Bible, but they put all this other stuff in there. And this is man's vain attempt to draw near to God. That's all they're trying to do, to say, well, we'll put this program in and that'll work over there and this will work there. And all of a sudden you find out, well, that does work. People like it, so let's keep the program going, even though it has nothing to do with God. But a Christian understands that the only way we draw near to God is by practicing our religion. He's not interested, God is not interested in ceremonies. He's interested in how we practice our faith. I spoke to a couple of people this morning about that. Situations arise in your life. It's a good thing. Why? Adversity allows you to practice your faith. And isn't that what we're supposed to do? Isn't that how we grow? For all these reasons, all of these reasons, we're to love God with all of our heart and with all of our soul. Matthew 22:37, you'll love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and all your strength. We're to trust in him to guide us. Proverbs 3:5-6, Jer. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he'll direct your paths. And he'll deliver us. He'll deliver you, Linda. Psalm 50:15, and call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me. Do you understand that? Do you understand how simple it is if you just use the book the way it's written? And he wants to comfort you. Here's our Isaiah 41:10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. Yes, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. He's not letting you go. He loves you. He came down strictly to save you. It's for all these reasons that he came to earth. And his mission was to convert sinners into aliens and make them new creatures in Christ. And he did that by planting seeds and, as I said, watering them with his blood. Now, if you're listening to this and you don't know Christ as your Savior, if that's you, the Bible says that you are living in the infinite space of reality. That is, the reality of your life, the way you see it, without God, means this. It comes from Ephesians 2:12. That means that you're separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. So that means that right now you are a natural man, you do not understand the things of God, and you are limited in what you can do. And if you die in that state, because you're a sinner is somebody that just offends God, put it that way, and we all have offended God. And if that's you, what are you waiting for? He sent somebody to pay your debt. If I came to your house, no, I'm not me. If I brought Clark with me, and Clark was Mr. Moneybags, and Clark and I said, hey, Clark, I want you to follow me. And we went over and we saw James over there, okay? And James, I said, James, how you doing financially? He said, I got a few bucks in the bank this time, you know, but I got a big mortgage, I got this and I got that. Well, you know what? Clark here's got a big bankroll and we're going to pay that off. What do you think of that? You want to do that? How long you think it would take James or me or you or anybody else to say, get that book, get that checkbook out, write that check. I want to get that mortgage paid off, right? Because it's money, it's carnal. You do it in a heartbeat. Jesus Christ gave his life that you wouldn't spend eternity in hell. And all you have to do is just say, I'm sorry for what I've done to you. And please, in the name of Jesus, in your name, Christ, forgive me my sins. I repent of them. I don't want to do them again. I want to be an alien in this world. I want to be able to do to function in this world, but I want to have you in my life because you're the only power in this world that matters. Not to mention what's going to happen when I leave this world. If I don't have you, help me, Jesus. And what do you think he's going to say? Well, maybe next time. Try again in a week. I got to run. You think he's going to do that? No, what he's going to do is, the Bible says in Romans, 10:13, all who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Simple stuff. And isn't that what you teach your kids? If you do something wrong, Johnny, you did something wrong to Sally, I want you to go over there and apologize to her, and you better mean it and say it like you mean it. And that's all he's saying to us to do to him. How hard is that? Now, if you're not willing to give up your sin, that's what it is. If you don't want to do it, it's because you don't want to give up your sin. And if that's you, then enjoy this life. Enjoy every moment, every day. I pray that you have a glorious day every day and that you never get sick and you live to be 150, okay? Or however long. Understand this, because if you, without Christ, this is the best your life will ever be. And it doesn't have to be that way. All you have to do is to cry out to Jesus to save you. Repent of your sin. Tell him you want to walk with him. You want to be a part of his family. And if you do that, he'll do it. If you're online or you're sitting here and you want to know Christ as your Savior, see me and I'll show you in his word how he wants you to be part of his family. Why he wants to set up a direct line of communication to you and a direct line of communication to your life that you can see because you're one of his people. You see me, and I'll show you where that is in the Bible. And for those of us that are living an alien life already, rejoice. The power of God, the love of God, and the Spirit of God rests upon all of us that know Jesus Christ as our Savior. So, why don't you put that power to work next week? Why don't you do that by living an alien life in Christ that the world can see? Let them see that you're an alien and that you're very proud of it and you have the power to change life simply by living your life the way the Bible tells you.